Welcome to the Student Ministries Podcast. I am Kate Kim, Discipleship Coordinator for our high school ministry called Watershed here at Perimeter. And this is a podcast where we talk about student culture and the gospel. And when we talk about students, we're really talking about teenagers, so anywhere from 6th to 12th grade is who we're kind of including in this conversation. And today we're going to talk about Gen Z. So they are a unique culture, so many wonderful qualities to Gen Z, some challenges. So we're just going to talk about how do you do ministry or how do you love and serve students in this particular cultural context. I'll also clarify that this podcast is really for anyone who is coming alongside students. So whether that be a volunteer leader, parents, teachers, or just someone who knows and cares for teens within a gospel context. So that's really who we're talking to. So today I have with me again Emilio Hood, Davon Stack, and Travis Nolan. Quickly just tell us who you are and what your role is, and then we'll jump into this conversation.
Davon Stack, I'm the junior high ministry director here.
Travis Nolan, I am the Junior High Discipleship Coordinator at Perimeter.
Emilio Hood, I'm the Watershed Director here at Perimeter Church.
Awesome.
What's Watershed?
It's the high school ministry. Kate already said that. That's why I didn't.
Yeah, come on, Davon.
Yeah.
Sorry, I work middle schoolers. My attention span is shorter than it should be.
Yeah, apparently you're not paying attention. Hmm? Well.
Or maybe you work with middle schoolers.
There it is.
Well, let's jump in. So Gen Z, Barna Group is a group of researchers who are Christians, and they've done a lot of research on this generation. And they would say that based on their polling, and this is an updated version from 2021, so very recent, that 91% of those who are in that category of Gen Z state that they hope to achieve a great deal in life within the next 10 years. Many confess fear about the future and a desire for financial and career stability. How do you see this as both a benefit and a hindrance to doing ministry?
Can I ask a question? What age range is Gen Z?
So Gen Z is anyone who was born between the years 1997 and 2012. So that would currently be anyone between the ages of 9 and 24 years old.
Got it. Good to know.
So, Davon.
Yes.
What do you think is a benefit and a hindrance to doing ministry to this particular group?
I think that, especially if you're achievement-based, they can be very difficult when you fail. Mm. I think about my own kids. My oldest is 14. And, yeah, some things come easy for them and some things don't come so easily for them. And I've seen this in other students as well. It's like they want to do well. A lot of the things that we live in a highlight culture, you want to say it that way, through social media and people that succeed if they get into things first and, you know, all that stuff. And so they're like, hey, I want to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. But sometimes the work ethic isn't necessarily there. Mm-hmm. And so that makes it difficult when they feel like they're not achieving, or if it's difficult to do something, they feel like they failed. And it's not that you've, one thing I've told my son is that failing doesn't make you a failure. Quitting is what makes you a failure. And so just tell him, hey, you got to keep working at it. I have your back. I'll help you as much as I can. Mm-hmm. But you need hard work and you need to ask for help. That's how we do achieve things. So getting help from others and working hard. So just kind of helping them understand that even when it comes to their faith, it takes hard work. It's not easy to be a Christian.
Yeah.
And so it takes the hard work of being around other believers and trying to live differently through the power of the Holy Spirit, but trying to live differently in the world you live in. And so getting that help from others and working hard in that. So, but yeah. Again, it's not easy.
Yeah.
I would say a benefit is they're fun. One. Student ministry is, I think it's more fun. But specifically with this age group, I think you have to take into account digital existence, right? And a much more prevalent digital existence, whereas we were kind of brought into that as adults. They've never known a world without social mm-hmm. media being mm-hmm. what is now the most prevalent way to reach people, and through digital channels that are not just television. And it would be easy to ridicule that, right? To go, I cannot believe you spend that much time on your device. And then I do it, right? Like mm-hmm. as a parent. That's a potential hindrance is the age gap and not understanding where they are digitally and meeting them where they are.
Mm-hmm. For sure. And I heard someone describe it once, I thought this was a good illustration that, you know, students or Gen Z, they, like you said, Travis, have grown up in a digital world. You know, that's all they've ever known. And so I'm a counselor, also at a private practice, and work with teenagers. And I have, you know, I've had clients who talk about how their phones and their social media really helps to regulate them. Like it helps them to feel normal. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, as adults or as people who are beyond that age group, we can at least draw on the experience and the memory of what it was like to not mm-hmm. have that instant access. So we can still know what it feels like to be in solitude, even if we are addicted to our phones, which most of us are. We still crave like connection and solitude. Whereas people from Gen Z, they don't even know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. They've always had that instant connection, that instant gratification. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it's like to wait for Thursday night to see a new TV show at 7:30. You know, like we get whatever we want when we want it. And so, that's hard. Mm-hmm. They're definitely.
Disconnection and solitude might feel like loneliness.
Yeah.
More so than like for us, we're like, hey, I just need a quiet moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. There's such a longing to connect, and yet, you know, students are really missing mm-hmm. that connection as they're trying to connect with one another. So it's hard.
And I think for us, like, that's, you know, the benefit to doing ministry to this generation is we have the opportunity to connect them with the one in whom their hope can ultimately lie. Like, connect them with the one to whom they can have not just financial security or career security, but eternal, you know, praise you forever security. But then like that hindrance in doing it, the struggle, and I'm sure we'll talk, we've already started talking about phones and social media, but the struggle is they're surrounded by a culture that tells them that's a lie. Mm. Or that tells them that they are ignorant or dumb if they actually believe what we declare and proclaim to be truth.
Right.
And so that's the struggle is how do we become the voice that they hear that drowns out the rest of that white noise?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think another unique thing about this generation is that another statistic from the Barna Group is that around 50% of the people polled stated that they are expecting the worst to happen. So there's this kind of sense of fear. So this group has lived through a pandemic, political upheavals, and over 100 school shootings. How Do we minister to a generation that's crippled by fear and anxiety?
They also just came out of 9/11. Mm-hmm. You know, so everything is, it's not rosy, if you want to say that way. Yeah. Well, the last podcast we talked about discipleship. So I think that it's, again, modeling that for them, modeling what hope looks like, modeling what joy looks like, but also what real Christianity in my mind looks like. And that's when you go through the hard things and continue to walk through it, walking faithfully through it. Giving them good advice, even if they don't necessarily take it in immediately and show immediate change, but having the patience to say, okay, hey, here's what I've experienced. Here's what I know would be helpful, and continue to walk with them in the midst of it. So even if they don't, again, they don't necessarily immediately take it in, being patient with them and continuing to, in a loving way, to continue to preach the truth or teach the truth or live the truth, all the things to them.
Absolutely.
Do you think they're desensitized? Like, with that easy access, with, you know, having that instant gratification, I wonder sometimes if there's, if they're desensitized. I was watching my children Saturday have lunch, and we were having lunch at the kitchen table, and the entire conversation, the whole time, was either quoting something that they found or heard on YouTube or on social media, or talking about something that they saw. There was not one point in the entire 25-minute conversation that they ever didn't talk about something that they had consumed digitally. It is their entire world. And I was just taken aback. I didn't jump in and go, do y'all realize how dumb you are? Because y'all are talking about nothing but, you know, so on and so forth, little 5-minute video clips or video clips of other people playing video games or what's going on, whatever, so on and so forth. But I wonder how much that desensitizes them into where that's just their, that's their norm. That's what they consume, and that's what all their friends consume. I don't know. I don't really have a point in that, except to say it's amazing how much it consumes them.
I remember me and Mark Gaines, who's behind the studio right now, we watched this video not too long ago. It was like this cartoon, but it was essentially like all these horrible things happening. Like somebody, one cartoon character was doing a dance, filmed, became the laughing stock of this community, you know, jumped to their death. Like, this is a cartoon, like almost like a 1940s type cartoon, like Betty Bop or whatever sort of thing. And like the person hits the floor and people are just filming it. Betty Boop. You know, like, that's, what is it? Betty what?
Betty Boop. Bet we can bet Betty Bop's good.
But, we all know what I'm talking about. But yeah, I'm showing my age. yeah, like all the students listening, like, what's a cartoon? But like the idea was like this horrible thing happened and people were just filming it. You know, it's but like not, no one's checking in, no one's crying. It's just, oh, let me film this and see how many hits I can get. You know, it's going to like that whole desensitized, because they have, they've grown up, you know, with COVID. You know, I mean, their whole life, like I think about my 12-year-old, like half her life is going to be one long chapter in a history book one day. You know, it's the pandemic, it's the racial tension, it's the political upheavals. I mean, in her lifetime, in my 3-year-old's lifetime, he has dealt with COVID, the storming of the Capitol. I mean, just like all these, the war in the Ukraine. He's 3. That's his lifetime already. You know, like for us, like you talked about 9/11, but you know, like we were in school when 9/11. Like these are the kids who've grown up going to airports where there's security. Like I have vague memories, like pre 9/11, like just walking through the airport. I mean, one of my favorite movies of all time, Home Alone. You know, the families are just running,
right?
And they can do that because there's not going to be 20 stops along the way. But you know, we've raised our kids in this culture, and I think in a lot of ways we're probably at fault for this because we remember what life was like for us, and we're like, oh, we don't want our kids to deal with this. Right. So then, unintentionally, like, we'll add this noise.
Yeah,
I don't know. It's a crazy thing to think about.
Yeah, you know, it's a way for students for this generation to protect themselves in a sense. Because there is, I mean, these are traumatic events that you're talking about. And to take that much on can feel very overwhelming. And so I think that's a part of what drives that addiction to social media, to YouTube, to a way to escape, a way to kind of dissociate from what's actually going on in the world, because it feels too overwhelming. I mean, as it is overwhelming. So I think the hard part and the question is, and we'll talk more later in this series about mental health and go more in depth with that, but like, as disciplers, how do we kind of pull, even yesterday, we were going to start this Galatians study with my group and it didn't come in yet. So I just had them, I was like, well, this will be a good exercise. I had them go just read Galatians for 30 minutes. And one, they all came back earlier. And one girl looked at me like a little bit panicked of like, but I can't pay attention. Like, I really will get distracted and I was like, well, that's a good opportunity for you to practice. Like, you get distracted, you come back to the word. And sure enough, they came back. I really thought like, oh my gosh, it's been like 18 minutes and they're back. Like, they didn't really get the point of this. And they really did have so much to contribute to the conversation. So I think like really giving them spaces and environments for them to connect with God, with the word, with each other is so important for it to teach them about something that they don't know how to do. Mm-hmm. Going back to the question of like, how do you come alongside a generation living in fear and anxiety? And I think maybe Devon, you said it, like just pointing to, this sounds like an oversimplification, but pointing them to the hope of the gospel. Yeah. And knowing that, you know, it is the gospel that like literally the worst thing happened and God redeemed that. Mm-hmm. And so telling them that story and pointing them to truth, but not dismissing what is going on in our world and their world, and recognizing that their interpretation of it might be different than our own because they are so young.
I was going to ask that with perspective. Where do y'all think perspective comes in, right? Like with that, and certainly valuing what they say and where they are. But I was thinking as you were saying that, Kate. I was thinking of the example of imagine what John and Mary and Martha were going through, right? Like, being there. He's dead.
Yeah.
This being that we just followed, where do we go? Talk about turmoil. And if only, you know, but Sundays are coming, as I've heard Bob Carter recite that at a funeral. We were actually together with that one. But Sundays are coming. But Sundays are coming. And they have no idea that Sundays are coming. So where does that perspective come into reaching Gen Z and say, no, you should have this perspective, but not look like some old dude telling them why they feel that way is wrong. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I think I'm going to lead into the next question because I think that sets it up super well. Okay.
Good job, Trav. You don't even have the questions in front of you. Nice job.
So another aspect of this generation is that they live in a post-Christian world. You know, so not only is, at this point, we can't assume, you know, that someone in America is a Christian. We haven't been able to for a long time, and we shouldn't. But also, not only that, but they're probably going to be oppressed to a certain degree at their schools if they are claiming to be a Christian. So in light of that, like, how do you, what you're saying, Travis, how do we, in that context, remind them of the gospel and point them to the truth?
We have to change the way we do ministry. I think even for us, we're in, you know, the suburbs of Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. you know, the Bible Belt. And for years and years and years, like, youth pastors, you know, leaders will come up and will preach this gospel and, like, man, God loves you and he's for you. And we build off of emotion, and which is great. And it's true. But I think, Gen Z is the most connected generation the world has ever seen. You know, they have the whole world of information in the palm of their hands. Mm. So we have to equip ourselves as leaders, as people who are coming alongside them to share the gospel, to share truth. We have to equip ourselves to be able to do that in a way that connects with them. And I'm not talking about doing a TikTok video or going on Snapchat or anything like that. But, you know, if we're competing against information, then we need to know what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to know on a deeper level than just, hey, Jesus loves you. Like, because for our students, in our context, they get that. They've heard that their whole mm-hmm. life. Tell me more. Sundays are coming. Why is that important? Why is that a big deal? What does that mean for me? Tell me, like, how does this work? What do you mean I get eternal life if I believe in this guy who supposedly was raised from the dead? Mm-hmm. You know, it's got to be more. We have mm-hmm. to challenge ourselves as leaders to have these conversations. Yeah. Mm. Because that's one of those things, you know, I was thinking about this earlier when we were recording the last podcast. You know, one of my big takeaways in doing ministry as long as I've been doing is that a high school student and a middle school student is way smarter than I can ever give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like, we want to, like, make the gospel simple in our messages mm-hmm. as communicators. And the four of us have the privilege of sharing the gospel from stage. Mm-hmm. You know, we communicate the gospel, and sometimes we have to think, oh, we need to simplify this so that our 15, 16-year-old friends can understand. But they're doing pre-cal and calculus. They can understand the gospel mm-hmm. and the truth. So I think we have to share that. Yeah. We have to meet them there. If we're saying we're going to meet them where they are, that's where they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's go there.
Yeah. And I think, like, even as you're saying, like, how smart they are, how much they know, especially in the context of where we are, it makes me think of, like, what Paul was saying, like, follow me as I follow Christ. Mm-hmm. His audience, he had a Gentile audience, but he also had a Jewish audience in multiple arenas. And so they knew a ton about the Bible. Mm-hmm. And so he had to make it in a way that it connected with what they already knew.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm talking about modeling.
Yeah.
Like, I've had conversations with my wife, and, you know, she's like, there's one point in time, she's like, are we going to mess up our kids because the way they see us raise them and how mad we can get and all these different things like that. And I'm like, they need to see the messiness of Christianity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, they need to see that the world they live in isn't perfect. They need to see that their parents aren't perfect, their leaders aren't perfect. And when we make mistakes, they need to see us asking them for forgiveness,
yeah.
not trying to hide it. Because we grew up in a world where it's expected to be a Christian to an extent. And because of that, growing up as a believer for however long they may have been, you had to live a certain way. You had to, you know, that kind of thing. And so you kind of wanted to hide your mess.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to stop hiding our mess to an extent,
yeah.
you know, to where we are. Hey, I messed up. This is what I did this past week. You know, not giving all the gory details, but saying, man, I had to ask the Lord for forgiveness 30 times this morning, yeah. you know, and just sharing that with them, saying that, you know, I know you guys know this truth. But let me show you how it looks to be lived out.
Yeah.
I think that's a big thing.
I love that you said that, because, you know, we're talking about social media and I want to see here, like, in our high school and middle school friends, but it's me too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we are addicted to fake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're addicted to the way something appears, even though we know deep down that was probably like their 40th picture that they posted, like 40th mm-hmm. try that they did that. Mm-hmm. They're addicted to this fakeness, but I think they're drawn to vulnerability. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen that here, you know, the moments where it feels like, it truly feels like the Spirit is moving in our students have been those moments where we or leaders have been most vulnerable mm-hmm. and saying like, hey, guess what? Like, I do mess up. Mm-hmm. Here's how I've messed up. Here's mm-hmm. when I've messed up. And all it just, it opens this floodgates of for our friends going like, oh my gosh, like, you know, I thought Dave Vaughn was this perfect thing, but he's saying he messed up mm-hmm. and he's still a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, God still loves him. Mm-hmm. Maybe that can be true for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's so good.
Yeah. Well, let me ask y'all one more question before we wrap up. What is one resource, whether it be...
This podcast.
Good answer. Okay, we're done.
Cue the music.
Whether it be a book, a podcast of some sort, an app, what is a resource that you would give to parents or leaders trying to understand or connect with teens?
Hmm. I mean, a lot of these questions and these stats, you reference Barna. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have done such a great job mm-hmm. of gathering information regarding Gen Z. Mm-hmm. I think it probably is the best thing out there right now.
Yeah.
If you're a parent, if you're a leader, if you're in ministry, I would grab Barna's book on Gen Z. Chap Clark, who's a professor at Fuller, he also wrote a book called Hurt, and there's a Hurt 2.0. I think specifically for someone who's in ministry, mm-hmm. that's a great resource. He does, similar to Barna, he interviewed hundreds of high school students. Mm-hmm. You know, going to their high schools, asking them questions, believers, non-believers. And it's one of the best books I've read mm-hmm. Regarding teen culture.
Mm-hmm. I think, yes, definitely what you said. I also think talking to other people that are ministering to your kids or working with your kids, like talk, mm-hmm. I mean, ask questions from guidance counselors and just say, hey, what are you seeing in students yeah. today? Talk to your youth pastor, talk to counselors that, you know, counsel with students. Like, what are you guys seeing? For one, I think it will help a parent to not feel like they're all by themselves. Mm-hmm. So their kids aren't strange or weird. Like, my kid's the only one dealing with it. And also asking, of course, other parents. Getting yourself into a friend group or something, building a community so that you guys can help, you know, that whole, like, it takes a village. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's still true today. Mm-hmm. Even though we don't really live it out the same way as our parents may have. But like, just so you're not alone.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about students not feeling alone.
Yeah.
Well, if you're trying to raise these students, you can't do it by yourself either.
Yeah.
Can I say one more?
Yeah.
Students. I think they're the best resource
yeah.
in regards to Gen Z because they are Gen Z.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like just yesterday, I got a text message from one of our leaders asking me if I knew what the term out of pocket meant,
mm-hmm.
which yeah. is something that the young people are saying these days. That's utes. Out of pocket, the utes. And I had no idea. And so instead of like making something up, which is what I wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
I asked some students.
Yeah.
And they answered. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't yeah. tease me or make fun of me. They could have, they should have, but they didn't. And I think there's something to be said about asking them
yeah.
their thoughts on
yeah, totally.
Them.
Right.
Like that's what Barna did, and that's yeah. what Chap did. You know, he asked them, you know, let's just cut out the middleman. I mean, read those books. They're incredible. But cut out the middleman and yeah. ask them. Like, if you're a parent, ask your student what's going on in their life.
I mean, what a better way for you to open up conversation than to ask yeah. them about themselves.
Oh, man, that's... You want to freak a kid out, ask them, hey, how are you really doing?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Put your phone down and tell me how you're doing.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I completely agree with all of that. I think one, a Bible study that I've used with my girls, and they've really enjoyed it. Kind of going back to, we talked about just kind of being authentic and vulnerable, and not trying to sugarcoat the word. The She Reads Truth and He Reads Truth Bible studies have actually been really, really awesome, just because you literally just take scripture and they ask them some questions based upon it. But it's pretty straightforward. They're not trying to fluff it up. And we just talk about the word. And so my girls have really, really enjoyed those studies. So just that's a resource in order to connect with them kind of in this post-Christian world. Well, thanks so much, guys. This has been a great conversation, and one we're still learning and growing in. But we would love for y'all to come back and hear from us next time. All right. Bye, guys.
The Perimeter Student Ministries Podcast with Kate Kim is an 8-week podcast released every Monday through the end of May. For more info, please visit our site at perimeter.org/students.